Welcome to our service for the 18th Sunday after Trinity. The second sermon of our series in the Acts of the Apostles deals with the great theme of Acts chapter 2, the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. There could be no better hymn to start with than that timeless invocation of the Holy Spirit, written in the 14th or early 15th century by Bianco de Siena and translated by Richard Littledale in the 19th century. Come down, O love divine, seek thou this soul of mine, and visit it with thine own ardour glowing. Our time of penitence. Lord Jesus, you came to reconcile us to the Father. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, by your cross, many children are brought to glory. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you search our hearts by your indwelling Spirit. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the for the 18th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty and everlasting God, increase in us your gift of faith, that forsaking what lies behind and reaching out to that which is before, we may run the way of your commandments and win the crown of everlasting joy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 14. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Acts chapter 8, verses 4 to 6. And 14 to 17.
Now those who were scattered after the stoning of Stephen went from place to place proclaiming the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah to them. The crowds with one accord listened eagerly to what was said by Philip. And when they believed Philip, who was proclaiming the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. This is the second in our series of sermons on the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Acts tells the story of a miracle. Well, many miracles, in fact, but one overarching miracle. The miracle that in 30 short years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, there were Christian churches at least as far away from Palestine as Rome. The early church, the several early churches, are a miracle of mission and organisation. They are also, as we shall repeatedly see in this series of addresses, a miracle of survival. From the very first days of the ministry of Jesus himself, the preaching of the way was bitterly opposed, first by the Jewish authorities and then by the authorities of the Roman Empire. That survival was indeed a miracle which continued for centuries after the Book of Acts, because successive Roman emperors persecuted the church for centuries. Not until the Emperor Constantine, 400 years after the death of Jesus, would there be a Roman emperor who called himself a Christian. The Christians of the apostolic age apparently had no power with which to spread their message, certainly no political power. But the spread of the good news of Christ was founded on another miracle, the miracle of the resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. We shall look in some detail at the missionary speeches of the apostles in Acts. They always refer to the resurrection of Christ, and they always say that they themselves are witnesses of it. But for the first 50 days, it would appear, they were not quite sure what to do with that conviction. Then, on the day of the Jewish feast of Pentecost in Jerusalem, God intervened again, and the Holy Spirit declared itself, himself, some say herself, as the power that the spread of the gospel would require. From that day on, the Spirit drove the new church onward and outward, guiding its mission and giving its missionaries the boldness and the courage to carry it out. They needed courage, as we have said, because they were powerfully, often bitterly opposed. Time and again, the mission of the church was opposed and its members and leaders were persecuted by the authorities, first by the Jewish authorities and ultimately by the one superpower of the era, the Roman Empire. Time and again, for example, in the crucifixion of Jesus himself, the execution of James, the brother of John, which we read of in Acts 12, the executions of Peter, Paul and Andrew under the persecution of Nero. Time and again in the biblical era and for centuries afterwards, the authorities cut off the leaders of the movement and hoped thereby that they had stamped out the flame of the gospel. But they were always disappointed. The flames which had lit the fire of Pentecost just burned brighter. The Spirit of God was moving, and the power of man could not oppose it. We see the consequence of one of those moments of oppression early in our readings today. Between the day of Pentecost, of which we read in our first reading from Acts 2, and the apostles' mission to Samaria in our second reading in Acts 8, there has occurred the stoning of Stephen, the first Christian martyr after Jesus. As I write, the news has come in, as I've already mentioned, that the diocese is planning the emergency ordination as a deacon of our brother Richard in church on Thursday the 20th of October. And in Acts 3, we have the story of the appointment of the very first deacons. Richard is now indeed to be ordained priest, but at first it was just deacon, we thought. But Stephen, who was stoned, was one of the first deacons. So it is indeed a long-standing and honourable order that Richard will be joining. Before there were elders or overseers, priests or bishops in the early church, there were deacons, appointed first to ensure fairness in the church's distribution of charity. Philip, who we read took the good news to Samaria, was another of them. There was, of course, also an apostle named Philip, but the Philip of today's story is one of those first seven deacons. This is the first, then, and in some ways the best example of the effect that persecution had on the early church. As they fled from persecution, the quest for safety drove them further away to new places. But because they took with them the same message, delivered with the same fervour, and empowered by the same indwelling spirit, the good news of Jesus spread further and further afield. In Acts 8 we heard, "Now those who were scattered after the stoning of Stephen went from place to place proclaiming the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah to them. The crowds with one accord listened eagerly to what was said by him, and when they believed Philip, who was proclaiming the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. 'You'll be my witnesses,' Jesus says in Acts 1, 'in Samaria, Judea, and to the ends of the earth.' Samaria is the next step in the fulfillment of that promise. The Samaritans are singled out, of course, because they are of the same faith family of the Jews. Many Jews despise them, as we know. You can think, perhaps, of the division within Christianity between Protestants and Catholics. But the point is that this first mission field, the Samaritans, are not Gentiles. The issues of what foods are permitted and so on do not arise. Samaritans share the same rules as Jews, more or less. As the gospel moves out from the Jewish into the Gentile world, it first reaches the Samaritans, who are nearly Jews, but not quite. But now, something interesting and important happens. The apostles hear about Philip's mission, and they go down to Samaria. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. We shall find this repeatedly and consistently in Acts. The presence of the Holy Spirit lies solely in the gift of the apostles through the laying on of hands. Philip couldn't do it. It was upon the apostles that the fire of Pentecost had fallen, and only through them could the fire be spread. That tradition, the laying on of hands by the apostles, becomes what we call the apostolic succession, passed on after the apostolic age to the episcopoi, the overseers, or bishop. When Richard, God willing, is made deacon and then priest, the bishop will lay hands on his head, as the apostles laid their hands on the heads of those who exceeded them, as Paul laid his hands on the head of Timothy, so that Timothy could become an overseer. Similarly, when you were confirmed, if you've been confirmed, the bishop laid his hands on your head, just as the apostles laid their hands on the heads of those converts in Samaria, the first believers from outside the Jewish fold. Just as you had already been baptized when you were confirmed, so had they been by Philip. But they needed also what is sometimes called the baptism or the filling of the Spirit. You start to see again that the story of Acts is our story. This is how our churches and their practices, like confirmation and ordination, came to be as they are. But the most important thing for us to grasp is the extraordinary power of the Holy Spirit. Time and again, we will find that the apostles turn to the Spirit for guidance. Time and again, we will find that the Spirit went before them and that their new converts, as here, were overwhelmed by the Spirit's power. It seems to have been obvious when it happened. They spoke in other tongues and prophesied. We don't see that so much now. But the Spirit, says Jesus, is like the wind. It blows, in the lovely old language of the AV, whither it listeth, where it likes. And like the wind, it encompasses the whole range from a gentle breeze to a raging hurricane. In those first years, it drove the apostles forward, touched the lives of everyone who turned to Jesus, and drove off the opposition of the authorities as though they were chaff before the wind. Let it be our prayer. Holy Spirit, fire of God, burn and rage within your church. Holy Spirit, wind of God, blow where you will and drive us out into your world. Amen. In a remarkable development, nobody's ever seen the church in Wales operate quite so fast. The Archbishop of Wales has given special dispensation for Richard to be ordained priest because of his very serious illness. And God willing, he'll be ordained priest by Bishop Wynne, former Bishop of St David's, in Newquay Church on Thursday evening. Everyone is welcome to come. On that occasion, we'll sing the Veni Creator Spiritus, Come Holy Ghost, Our Souls Inspire. But it made me think of our next hymn, which is one of my very favourite hymns, although it is in fact in Latin. And so I'll translate it for you before I sing it. But it is another Come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit, and send out the radiance of your heavenly light. Come Father of the poor, giver of gifts, light of our hearts. Best of comforters, sweet guest of the soul, sweet refreshment. You are rest in our labour, coolness in heat, solace in suffering. O most blessed light, fill the deepest hearts of your faithful ones. Without your presence, there is nothing in man that is not harmful. Wash what is soiled in us, refresh what is dry, clean what is filthy, bend what is rigid, warm what is frozen, straighten what is crooked. Give to your faithful ones, as we put our trust in you, your sevenfold holy gift. Give the reward of virtue, the end of salvation. Give eternal joy. Amen.
Veni Sancte Spiritus, et emite Celitus, lucis tue radium. Veni Pater Pauperum, veni Datum Munerum, veni Lumen Cordium. Consolator Optime, dulcis hospes anime, dulce refrigerium. In labore requies, in estu temperies, in fletus solatium. O lux beatissima, replecordis intima, tuorum fidelium. Sine tuum numine nihil est in homine, nihil est in oxium. Lava quod est sordidum, riga quod est aridum, sana quod est saucium, flecte quod est rigidum, fove quod est frigidum, rege quod est devium, datuis fidelibus inter confidentibus sacrum septenarium, da virtu salutis meritum, da salutis exitum, da perenne gaudium.
Now it's time for our prayers. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. In tad rhanoiten a nefoedd sancteiddio dy enw, deled dy defnas gwnel y dy wyllus, megis yn y nef fechli ar y ddear hefyd. Dydon ni heddiw ein bar y beinyddiol, y maddau ni ein dyledion fel y maddewn ni na ein dyledwyr, ac nac ar rhan ni brofedigaeth eitha gwared ni rhag drwg, can i seith o ti o'r dernas a'r nerth a'r gogoniant, yn oes oesoedd. Amen. Lord, open our lives to your goodness, open our eyes to your presence, open our ears to your call, open our hearts to your love, open our lips to your praises, and open us to your glory. Amen. We pray for our new King Charles and Queen Camilla, ahead of the coronation which has been announced for next year. We pray for them as they come to terms with the new lives that they must live. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We continue to pray for our Bishop Joanna, who is unwell and has had to leave off work for a time. We pray for the Reverend Chris Frost, Vicar of Aberporth, who has resigned from his post because of the stresses of all the work and the many things that he has to do. We pray for all clergy, that they may find again the joy of their vocation. We remember especially our Archdeacon Aileen, who shoulders more of the burden created by the bishop's absence. And we pray for our brother Richard, as his ordination approaches. We remember the clergy who are ill, especially David Tizard and Trevor Copeland. Lord, look down on your church in all its messy humanity. We thank you for the moments of transcendence which inspire us to continue along our pilgrim journey together as the body of Christ. And we ask your forgiveness for the moments when we seem lost in a maze of disagreements. Open our lips to praise you and our lives to your service. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of love, show us our place in this world as channels of your love for all the creatures of the earth, not one of which is forgotten in your sight. Enlighten those who have power and money, that they and we may love the common good and care for this world in which we live. We remember most especially those who are suffering from climate change after floods in Pakistan, hurricanes in Florida, drought in Central Africa, and in some parts of Southern Europe. Help us to prepare for a better future, for the coming of your kingdom of justice and peace, love and beauty. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for peace, most especially in Ukraine. We pray for the end of the senseless war there and the suffering of its innocent victims. We pray, Lord, that you would turn the hearts of the men of violence from wickedness to justice and to peace. We pray for Ukrainian refugees in this country and many other countries, We thank you for the work of those who are supporting them, and we pray that you would shorten the time before they can return to their homes. Bring peace with justice in Ukraine and in all parts of your world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we know that your greatest gift to those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit is your presence. Help those in pain of all kinds to feel your closeness and to draw strength and comfort from it, to undergo what must be undergone, and give them the gift of hope for the morrow, knowing that underneath are your everlasting arms. We remember especially those who are particularly dear to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, we remember those who have departed this life, those who mourn their passing. May they rest in peace and rise in glory. And may we in due time join them in the feast of eternal life in your presence. Lord, in your mercy, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Saviour, I will go, where the flowers are blooming and the sweet waters flow. Everywhere he leads me, I will follow, follow on, walking in his footsteps till the crown be won. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus, anywhere, everywhere, I will follow on. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus, everywhere he leads me I will follow on. Down in the valley with my Savior I will go, where the storms are sweeping and the dark waters flow. With his hand to lead me I will never, never fear. Danger cannot frighten me if my Lord is near. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus, anywhere, everywhere I will follow. Beside my Savior will my soul ever keep. He will lead me safely in the path that he has trod, up to where they gather on the hills of God. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus, anywhere, everywhere, I will follow on. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus, everywhere he leads me I will follow.
Now may the love of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you this day and always.